Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast. By the time to get started, welcome to Running the Point with Jason Carey, the intelligent podcast. Before we get started, you know how we always do, we like to thank everybody that listens. It's like saying the grace. Thank you for listening. We are competing for ears. You could listen to anybody, but you choose to listen to us here at ATLPN.com. Man, this is season finale. Season finale. I appreciate y'all listening to the all season. Season three coming here at the end of 2000. And, I ain't gonna say the years. You know, you say the years, it kind of dates you. I'm not gonna say the years. You know what it is. So anyway. Season finale, and we're going to have a very interesting conversation, a conversation that hits close to home, of course, and I met a couple that leading the charge in having this conversation, because this is a conversation people don't have. It's a conversation that is not had, it kind of brushed over, including in my own life. So I want to welcome my guests, the founders and owners and engine behind Blendistry. Is that right? Can we say that?
That's it.
Welcome. I'll let you guys introduce yourself individually, please.
Okay. My name is Thomas Mason.
And I am Ebony Mason.
Welcome. And as they have the last name, and it's not by chance, they are a couple, as I said. They are married. So we get a chance. People that, if you have followed me, if you had listened to me, what you hear me talk about my parents, you hear me talk about my sisters, you hear me talk about my family all the time. And if you hear me talk about them, what you never hear me say is my stepmom. And so many of you don't even know that they're not my biological mom when I'm talking about, but it's my mom. When I was 5 years old, my mother passed away. And she passed away due to breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And so it was just me, my dad, and my big brother, you know. And now, we say it's just me, but we got family that was around us, of course. Right. But the core family, that's who it was. My dad then remarried and married my mother now, and I had a baby sister, and now we have a wonderful, what they call, blended family.
Yes, yes.
Because my brother, who was around, was also, he has a different dad, because my biological mom was married prior to meeting my dad. So it's just a mixture in there.
Right.
It's a mixture of ideals and ages and everything in there that could possibly happen. Now, my brother's 10 years older than me. So, and we'll get into that, where that's a different that created a different dynamic.
Right.
But I say all that to kind of lay a foundation for the listeners and let them know it's a blended family. They're like, I never really heard the term, or never. Some people don't even hear the term, because growing up, you know, I didn't even start talking about blended family until about maybe two years ago.
Right.
Because my sister, my middle sister Morgan, we talk about it all the time, and be like, man, it could have been different. And we are really blessed, because I'm so close to my cousins and aunts and uncles that came later in life, you know, and it didn't have to be that way. We grew up with them, spent the night and all that up there. So blended families came about. So let's talk about you guys.
Okay.
Sounds Blendistry. Good. You got on the t-shirts today, of course.
Absolutely.
Got on
absolutely.
The Blendistry. Blending families through ministry. But talk about the dynamic of you two and you being in a blended family.
Okay. I have three boys. Mm-hmm. And I was married for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And then that three boys got divorced in 14. And but kind of separated in 12.
Okay.
And when I got divorced, I decided to just kind of get back right with God and allow myself to be clean and forgiven, and also just allowing me to allow God to get within my heart and within my mind. Mm-hmm. And kind of figure out what it is he wanted me to do. So I met this beautiful lady next to me.
Ah. Yeah.
beautiful.
That's awesome. And now Thomas has told me this story 3 different times, and he's told it with the same fervor and energy and sprinkle and fairy dust every time. Differently, but the same joy every time. I love it. I love it. Continue to do that, sir. Tell that story like that all the time.
Oh. Thank you, baby. So my story, I have 2 children. I have a daughter who I had at a very young age, and I I did not marry her dad. Mm-hmm. And I have another child, my son, who I was married to his father for 10 years. And so when I met him, my daughter was 3. Mm-hmm. I did not have a relationship with her biological father initially. Mm-hmm. But that changed when she was about 3 and a half. And was married for 10 years, got divorced, and... the way that our parenting relationship was, I really thought that all blended families functioned that way because, believe it or not, our divorce was, it was pretty amicable. It was, you know, a mutual decision. Mm-hmm. We didn't like the people that we were becoming just because we didn't have the foundation, the spiritual foundation in our relationship. And it was important for us to be healthy. And so that didn't work out. And so for years, probably about 5 or 6 years, I was just kind of lost, you know, just out there trying to find me and what my next move was going to be. And then I hit a real dark season. And I couldn't turn to anyone except for, I guess, God at this point. And so I made a decision that if he brought me out of that, you know, I would do nothing but honor him. And so for about 2 or 3 years, you know, God was my boo.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Right. God was my boo. Oh, yeah, it's one of the two. Y'all make, hey, if you make a t-shirt, y'all send the royalties
right
up here.
Absolutely. That's all. Go ahead. We copyright in that.
Real talk.
Yeah, you guys. And so, you know, the church really became a big part of my life because we had visited different churches and my kids were like, you know, Mom, we want to go to church and, you know, can you go and visit this church?
Your
and
kids
that
said
church?
That.
Yeah. My daughter in particular.
That's I have never said that. Yeah. that was
it's a story behind that too.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a story behind that too. So,
you know, as kids, they get on Instagram and they meet people and all that sort of stuff. And so my daughter had met this young lady and they became friends. And so this young lady's parents were starting a church. And so my daughter would go and visit with them a whole lot. And she became really fond of the family. And she had said, Mom, you know, you have to come and visit my friend's church. You have to come and visit my friend's church. And so one day I woke up and it just hit hard. Like, you know, she kept asking me to come and visit this church. And so I went, I got up and we went, visited the church and never left ever since. Wow. It's been, you know, our church home.
Wow.
And so that's how that relationship formed, where we started going to church, and I was just committed to just working on myself and just growing in Christ. And was there for a whole year just serving and working on me, building relationships, and just having a community with people who wanted to grow as well.
Okay.
And that's how Thomas and I met was actually... Yeah. In church.
Because the best friend is the pastor's daughter, and the pastor is my best friend.
Ah.
So when he started the church, you know, me and him had, during my whole, you know, finding myself, we had, you know, through just being friends for almost all of our lives, mm-hmm. we had talked about, you know, him starting a church. And I said, well, whenever you start a church, I'm there with you. And when he started the church in 2014, you know, I was there with him from the beginning and have, you know, and still there. So being over production, well, not over, but being part of production in the church, yeah. we just, we end up bumping into each other through the movie called War Room.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, it's actually it's a very good movie. If you ever get a chance, anybody out there, if you have not seen it, it is a very good movie for couples that's going through things, and allowing you to get yourself spiritually aligned with God
mm-hmm.
and working through. Because God always has a way of doing things, and we kind of figured that's our relationship too. Because for 2 years the church started,
mm-hmm.
and she came in latter part of the first
year.
Yeah,
I think church started like in
when she came in. Thomas, I'll let you tell that part. When she came in, did mm-hmm. she come in the door? Did it glow? Like there was this shine.
That's the whole funny story. So for two years, we were both at this church.
Uh-huh.
She never saw me. I never saw her. It's only 40 people in the church.
Yeah. And we never crossed paths.
We never crossed paths. Now, we were in events with each other. We were at a Valentine's event. I DJed the Valentine's event. She came. She had another guy that she was dating at the time. Mm-hmm. He was at the event with her.
Mm-hmm.
We still didn't really see each other. I don't remember seeing her. Then we were at a singles ministry event. I DJed that. She was there at that. Never saw her there.
So the moral of the story is you don't pay attention to
nothing.
DJ.
Oh, what a, right.
you have to place it like right in his face. But even with that, it's just so bizarre because I never knew that Thomas was, you know, the pastor's like best friend or anything like that.
Mm.
And I had this relationship with them. And so we never talked about like each other.
Hey, who's your best friend?
Anything like that. Yeah, like, it's not
up.
Something that comes
yeah,
up, right?
Come up.
and I shared a lot of.
Wait a minute. That means, ladies, y'all got male friends. Or y'all friends or family, y'all should start asking, hey, who your best friend?
Right.
All y'all that can't find a man, just go and say, hey, who your best friend?
Is he single?
Yes.
Start asking that question. Because he ladies don't ask the right questions. I say, this is what they're telling you. You don't ask the right questions. Anyway, mm-hmm. carry on.
But the movie War Room, it really talks about the power of prayer. And during that season, that's where I was. Mm. And if anyone knows me, I'm a movie buff. So I love watching movies.
Oh, we're going to test that then later. We're going to carry on.
She is.
And at that point, I had seen this movie like 4 times already.
The first week
with different groups.
Yes. And
have mercy.
And I had, of course, I had shared that with Pastor. And I told him this would be a really good movie for the church, you know, for the congregation to go and watch. And sent them the trailer, and they made like a church outing with it. I happened to be out of town when they went. And when I came to church, I think maybe a week or two after that,
mm-hmm.
He was still advertising this movie. And Thomas happened to, you know, be there. And I think he made like a funny comment, like, did you really go and watch that movie like 4 times? And I said, yes. And I'll go and watch it a 5th time because it was that good. I'm like, you should go and watch the movie. And he was like, well, you know, I guess I need to go and watch it if you've seen it, you know, these many times. And so he said, well, if I go, you know, would you mind going and watching it a 5th time? And I was like, yeah, it was that good.
Mm.
And so
your first date was a movie, Thomas?
First date was a movie.
Man, now you know they tell you not to do that in the book, right? But it worked out for you, so I guess I better stop telling people not to do that.
We went to the movie.
Tell the rest. Y'all went and talked and everything afterwards.
Absolutely. Because after the movie was over, we stayed in the parking lot for about 5 hours.
5 hours, like on our feet.
On our feet, just standing there. It was, and what was so crazy is my job at the time, I used to have to get up at, you know, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So I didn't tell her that, but I stayed there and talked to her till about 1:30, 2 o'clock. So I had just enough time to go home and change and get into
the
work.
Is that what?
Right. Mason. Never mind.
But that kind of started our friendship, and and it just kind of grew into a relationship. So, you know, looking at it from that aspect, we realized we were in a season to where we both were needing healing, and we both needed God. And through the church, he put us together. And now, you know, as we were going through our premarital, they kept saying, what's going to be you guys? What's going to be special about the Masons? What are you guys going to do? Mm-hmm. And so that's when this blendistry idea kind of came to focus.
Wow.
Yeah. Because when we met, we were, you know, I would go out with different people or whatever I was dating, but I was also, you know, celibate. And so the minute that guys would know about that, they would either try to convince you with a couple of dates or, you know what, this isn't, you know, for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember with Thomas, you know, we were just talking. Like, mm-hmm. the only time we would really see each other after the movies was really at church. Mm-hmm. And leading up to the movies, it took us about 3 or 4 weeks to like just kind of coordinate our schedules.
Mm.
And I think we went like during the week. Mm-hmm. It was actually on a Wednesday.
So she just gave y'all another tip, ladies. All that complaining about where if he wanted to be with me, he'd make time. See, sometimes it might take 3 weeks,
right.
Might take a month. Let it happen.
Exactly.
Stop getting in the way of yourself. All right, Karen.
Organically, right? Mm-hmm.
Just let it happen.
And so, we did that. And so our kids, after some time, our kids started talking to each other because, well, they were already in Sunday school. So our kids knew each other before we knew each other.
Gotcha.
And so my daughter being the oldest with our oldest boy, he said, they were talking and my daughter tells, his son tells my daughter, you know what? I think my dad has a thing for your mom. And my daughter says, are you sure? And he says, yeah, you know, like when they're talking and stuff on the phone, like my dad's like laughing. He's like on the bed, just kind of like all relaxed. And that's not even him.
He been on the bed with his feet crossed and drawing pictures. All right. That's enough. I don't want to see this image of this man. That's what's up.
And, and then so my daughter says, well, you know, I think my mom is like clueless about it because she hasn't said anything. And, you know, I know my mom and she's just friendly to everybody. And so my daughter comes to me and she says, you know, mom, you know, the church man has a thing for you.
The church man.
Yes.
That was my name.
That was his name. It was the church man.
The church man.
And I was like, no, he doesn't. And don't say that because, you know, that's how church rumors start. She says, well, you may not have a thing for him, but he definitely has a thing for you. And so I remember after service, I went up to him and I said, okay, well, just to clear the air, the kids are talking and I don't want to, you know, start any rumors with us, but we're just friends. And I don't know if you know this, but, you know, I'm dating, you know, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
And I told him, I said, and I don't know what kind of girls you go out with, but, you know, I'm not that girl. Jesus. If you have other intentions. And, you know, I said, and I go out, you know, with other people and that sort of stuff. So I just don't want you to get all caught up. And I remember him telling me, he's just looking at me like, oh, okay. Well, just to let you know that I don't worry about, like, you know, anything else that people, you know, anything else that others have going on.
Mm-hmm.
But once God is in it, I don't worry about it. And when he said that, I kind of felt like he put me in my place. And so I was like, oh, okay. And
well, listen, let's get kudos to Thomas. Because the minute you told me I'm dating Jesus and you came to me and I like you, you're like, maybe you'll get on my face. I probably would have.
Right.
It would have took me a couple of days to even get myself together. Now, if I like you, I probably came back around. But I allowed you guys to tell that story because I think all of that was important to the listeners. That y'all need to know how this even came about,
right?
How we even got to this blendistry and how we're talking about what the dynamic is. Because you say you got three boys, you have two children, so you have five children together.
And right. And the blessing is that they were friends before her and I knew each other.
And so, they became brothers and sisters.
And they became brothers and sisters because the baby, my baby, and her son were like this.
It's very good. And
they were already like that.
So, and then the older two, they were just doing it, at church, but they knew each other. They hung out, at church. So the relationship for them was already pretty strong.
So what's the impact? The impact of, because blended families have impact on, of course, it has an impact on parents. And then you got the parents that are outside of you guys' marriage. And then have such an impact on kids.
Right.
Let's kind of talk about the dynamics and the sound of different types of blended families. Because you said there are how many different types of blended families?
67 total.
67 different ways you can be a blended family.
Correct.
Which is incredibly specific.
that's right.
67 is a strange number. Why did we stop there? But that being the case, you guys being one of the many ways, what is the impact on the kids? What could it have been?
I guess to kind of explain our situation as far as being a blended family, we have two extremes. Mm-hmm. We have one, her spouse or ex-spouse was very working with the kids and working with her and even involved with there was no strife between all of us.
Mm-hmm.
On my side, it was a little tougher. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it was very tough.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things that we had to deal with ours. Is
so on one level, the adults have to be willing to play nice,
right?
Absolutely.
when you go into a blended family,
right?
And it has to be a conscious decision because you had to make a decision. Also, not only with your faith, but you had to make a decision that, all right, this man has three boys.
Right.
Exactly.
And an ex-wife. Hey, how's your ex-wife?
Yes.
And so that's a decision for you that you had to make, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
And I think also to keep in mind for us, our spiritual growth was what brought us together.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else came afterwards because for me, I definitely, the next relationship that I felt that God had in store for me, mm-hmm. I wanted it to be the right one.
And we wanted to do it different.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we courted. That was that's what we did. We courted.
No sex
was not even a factor. We put in the work. Mm-hmm. For me, I think the kids having that relationship, it definitely helped, but until you're actually in it, you really don't know what to expect. It's one thing to be outside of the home, mm-hmm. but then it's another to actually be living it.
Yeah.
And so for me, one of my biggest lessons was these expectations, right? Because even though I had two children from two different relationships, I had a great relationship with each one of my kids' fathers. Mm-hmm. And we've always functioned, as a unit. Even through the divorce and through everything else, we functioned properly.
Yeah.
That a lot of times people couldn't even believe that we were divorced and it wasn't anything. It was the respect that there.
Men that you possibly dated couldn't understand you being so close to them?
Yeah, well, and when you say when you say close, it's really like communication. Like we're not at everything together, but if I couldn't make a parent-teacher conference, they would and vice versa.
Got it.
So it was that type of relationship. And so I thought that I could bring those same dynamics into the relationship with Thomas. And what we found out is that a lot of times when your exes or even the the kid's parent, because you can have a blended family and you may have not even married, you know, that person, right? It could be a single parent. But I think when they have access to that person and they're used to doing things a certain kind of way, they may have not been any like friction or animosity during that time.
Yeah.
And then the dynamics change, right? Because now you're married.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's God first and then your spouse. And so a lot of times that's kind of hard, you know, for the exes to accept that. And for us, our first year, you know, you talk about honeymoon period. Mm-hmm. We had no honeymoon period. You know, it was just right into it. Right into
all
it.
The stuff.
Yep.
Right now into it.
How do the, so bringing the kids in, as you heard, I call my mom.
Right.
How do you guys, how does it work for your kids? Because some of them, the dynamic is some of them being younger versus you coming in and you have an older child. How do the kids address you guys?
So for us, that was kind of tough, because when you are coming into a blended family, when they're younger, it's easier for them to give you a title versus when they're like teenagers. And for us, our kids were, you know, teenagers when we got together. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm Miss Ebony. He's Mr. Thomas. You know, we tried to do the little nicknames and all of that in different languages, because, you know, I speak Spanish fluently. So we talked about that and they joked about it. And, you know, it's like, oh, it sounds weird, or, you know, whatever. So for us, we eliminate that pressure. And it's like, whatever you feel comfortable with.
We did not do the step. We stayed away from step.
Yeah, we don't do like stepdad or stepmom.
I think that's important. How do y'all feel about that part, the step thing? Just see, it always just seems like it creates a divide.
It does. It does.
It's a wall.
It is a wall. And it allows the kids to manipulate division when they can throw that word in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You ain't my daddy, you my stepdaddy.
Right.
Yeah, you ain't
so
my mom. Yeah.
It creates a bunch of animosity and a lot of hard times when you can separate it versus that's your, you know, father that is taking care of you in one way or another. So
yeah. And we even you know, when I make it a point that when I'm out with the kids, these are my kids.
Yes.
Even if I'm not with my bio kids, yeah. I say, you know, these are my boys. These are my, exactly. These are just my kids. Mm-hmm. Because you are pretty much doing the same thing as you would with your children. Mm-hmm. So if we set the example for them, then eventually they'll come along. Because we have to remember that, you know, we never asked our kids, you know, permission if whether or not we could get married or anything. They're coming into this as well, and it's a change
and it's
for them.
It's a forced change for them.
Exactly. Where
it's a willing change for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so being forced into a situation, you know, you're gonna have some tough times sometime.
Yeah.
Got it. And I think that's it. You guys went about it the right way. The miss, because you got if you got Mr. Thomas, Miss Ebony, you know, you can tend to, that's a level of respect anyway.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You work with somebody, be like, you know what, that's Miss Ebony over there. Huh? You treat them differently than you treat the lady you just call Ebony.
Yep. And you do. And so, you know, that was one of the things we felt, that at least with the, you know, with the Mr. and Mrs., that level of respect allowed for the kids to, you know, put you on at least this level.
Yep.
You know, you're not just gonna be equal or, you know, or below what you would say to your mom.
Correct.
I
see that with some people, like first name, like, hey, listen, ain't no kid calling me by my first name.
Right.
It's establish something.
Right.
Establish something. I asked about Ebony, but you coming into this now as a man has to make a decision too. You be like, all right, I'm coming into this, yes. Two kids. Now, I guess for you, it's easy because it's like, who am I? I got three, so
right.
Who am I to say anything? But did that, before her, did that even become, was that a factor? Going into trying to start a relationship with a woman with kids?
For me, I guess the main thing was, if you have kids, you're going to have to accept me for what I have and what I bring to the table. And I guess for us,
like I said, I guess one of the God's blessings for us was the fact that the kids knew each other.
Yeah.
It's not like...
It didn't even come a factor.
Right, right. They knew each other. And they were, and like I said, two of them were tight friends. So it was kind of... it was kind of a ease situation for them where, you know, they're not having a fight. Well, this is my room, or this is my joystick, or this is my computer.
They still kind of do that.
They still, but it's not that bad. It's
normal sibling.
Just normal sibling
stuff.
But I mean, it wasn't the fact of, oh, I can't stand you type. It was never that. And over time, you know, they've really gotten to the point to where they help each other, they look after each other, they take care of each other.
Our daughter is she's the lucky one. She doesn't have to share her room,
right?
But the boys do.
The boys do, right?
Let's go into a little deeper into just Blendistry itself. What is the vision? What do you want Blendistry to do?
So Blendistry is really Thomas and I started just. We're always thinking about how we can be better, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that our relationship serves as an example to our kids that despite the circumstances that you were born into, we want it for you to have hope, right?
Yeah.
And that you can have healthy and Christian relationships. So we want it to be the example to them. And so in doing research, we found some resources through Family Life, which is a Christian-based organization that mm-hmm. focuses on families. And so they have a subset of that called Blended and Blessed for, you know, families like ours. And so in attending their conferences and seminars, we felt like, wow, there's a whole community out there for families who are just like us.
Yeah.
And hearing their stories and testimonies, we wanted to be a part of that. And realized that here in where we live, there weren't a lot of communities that were talking about, you know, what does it take to be a part of a blended family? Like, mm-hmm. if mm-hmm. I'm having an issue, if I want to have a conversation with someone who is of a traditional family, there are certain elements of that they're just not going to be able to relate to.
Yeah.
And so that's how Blendistry came about, because our church being so small, mm-hmm. it just didn't have that. But 70% of the, you know, congregation were blended families. And so in little conversations here and there, you know, we would host things at our home and realize that there was a need for a community like that.
And even going through our premarital, mm-hmm. We went through a premarital book, and we were the only couples that have, you know, that were, well, not only now, but we were the only couple that we had to get to a section to where, like, wait a minute, this was a section that only her and I could cover because our pastor and first lady, they weren't a blended family. So that was a section we end up having to just kind of do on our own.
That's cool.
To better prepare ourselves
That's cool.
We had to go deeper.
We had to go deeper. Right.
Yeah. So we safe to say that you guys believe that it is important to anybody that's listening that's maybe part of a blended family or thinking about jumping into one, that you have a create a support group or create some kind of way to just kind of talk about the things, because things aren't the same.
Correct.
And then also in the African American community, there is, you know, almost kind of like what you said you went through. You didn't realize you were a blended family until like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
or so. So you see what I'm saying? Because most of the time it's just that's your brother. You know, you like, OK, you know, so it was one of those things to where the conferences that we've gone to, we realized that the African American community has not been tapped mm-hmm. with the educational resources. You know, you have the personal resources to where, you know, if I'm the dad, I'm telling you, okay, that's your brother and he's going to be staying with us.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, okay. I guess I'll
move over.
Right, right. So, but now, you know, there's a lot of resources out there as far as getting counseling and books and seminars.
Should
and
the kids be there?
Because
I know
yes.
you do that for the parents, but should
they
the kids
can.
Be?
They can.
Okay. They can, because they actually do a seminar that's actually dedicated to kids. And even our daughter, is, you know, has come up with an idea that we're gonna we're thinking about running with, that will tie into Blendistry, that's gonna deal with just the kid aspect of of dealing with it. So we're
yeah, I think she's calling it growing up blended. Where, because, you know, they attended our last event that we had, and she's like, I mean, this is cool, but, you know, what about kids like us, right? It sounds like a lot of, like, adults talking about, you know,
correct. That's
family.
Why I asked that question. Like,
so she, I think the idea that she came up was calling it Blendish.
Blendish.
Like Blackish.
Got it.
So, I love it. Yeah, we thought that was pretty cool. So we're actually, you know, we're going to, 2019 is kind of our takeoff for everything that we want to do. But right now, we just really wanted to get out to the community and let them know that, you know, we're here.
You're not alone.
You're not alone. And there are plenty.
You are not alone.
I'm sorry.
I love it.
I get sidetracked. So that's perfect. And that's why it's a perfect time. And I wanted you guys to have a chance to come on the platform and kind of talk about it. Because it's interesting. Again, it's interesting. It's a lot of dynamics. We said 67 ways. So y'all, we ain't going over 67 ways. Y'all figure it out.
Right.
Look it up. There's 67. But figure out, you might have, like I said, I didn't know
that you
I was
know,
in it. So
right.
You had to go figure out. Be like, right. Oh, hey, that's
your statistic and didn't know it, right?
I had no clue. Right. Like, thought we were just black. But so anyway, what's the social media? What you got social media?
We're on Facebook at Blendistry. We'll have a website coming soon.
Okay.
We're going to jump it off in 2019.
Okay.
If you have questions, mm-hmm. you can email us at blendistry@yahoo.com, and that's blendistry@yahoo.com.
Okay. So you guys make sure you follow them and pay attention to what they're doing, and maybe you'll get involved. No matter what city, state, country you're in,
right.
You may have questions, and you never know. There may be a Blendistry podcast coming one day. We never know.
Right. And hopefully soon, Family Life is actually starting to dedicate a little bit more urban commercial. So when we went to Arkansas to attend a seminar, they actually had a nice urban commercial that they were getting ready to throw out. You could tell, I mean, it was just, you know, do you have baby mama drama? Do you have baby daddy drama?
Oh, wow.
You know, but, I mean, you got to think, when you're dealing with our community, that's what we refer to blended families, baby mama, you know, baby daddy type stuff, but that's what equates to a blended family. So they're really trying to go and get this information out, because I'm gonna tell you, just the books and the information that we've studied, it has helped us out a lot. And like I said, with the help of God and just praying, has really, you know, put us in a position to be able to help whatever people we can.
And we just want, you know, just the community out there to know that it's okay, you know, to seek help, and just the relationships that come about are just so, like, critical and can be so helpful later on. Because what happens is, a lot of times your experiences that you have growing up, if you don't deal with them, right, those things will transition over into your adult life. And that's the reality. That's right. The reality. So once again, thank you guys so much for the opportunity to just talk about our story and our testimony, and to just reach others who are like us.
Indeed. Thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all for coming again. This is Running the Point with Jason Carey. Make sure you follow me, Jason804, on everything, every platform. Follow ATL Podcast Network on Instagram. Hit us at atlpn.com and catch me every single morning on IBNX Radio, Morning Coffee Squigs, 7 to 10. We got to get out of here. I'll catch y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in this season. Season 3 coming real soon.
All right.